This podcast replay is brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. Fixed rates at an all-time low. Call Michael, 561-441-2730. Refinance or lower those monthly payments. Get off the fence. Stop renting. Call 561-441-2730.
This is the Big O Show.
The Panthers have never come back from four goals down to win a game.
Fun last night. It was frustrating and it was fun, right? Because you're watching the Heat were in control of their game from beginning to end. Detroit made a couple little runs and all that good stuff, but Miami was in control of that one. The Panthers were completely out of control for two periods. Bob gets benched. Montebo comes out. And we've been talking about Bob struggling for the last couple of weeks on this show here, because we call it like you see it. And it was pretty amazing to watch that comeback last night. And for them to storm back, tie the game. Montebo had some great saves, too. In that game, he had, I think it was 15 saves, if I'm correct. I think Montebo had 29 saves, actually. I'm sorry. 29 saves overall. Again, phenomenal. Barkov, Boyle, Daddy ended up getting a goal, too. That was impressive, man. That was as impressive as it gets. Actually, I'm reading the wrong one.
The way we played defense, the first period.
I'm reading the one from the other night.
Okay.
It was Hoffman, Vetrano, Ekblad, and Yandel getting the goals yesterday to end up tying it. And here's the thing. Montebo had 15 saves. That's what I was right. I said 15.
Yeah, we weren't. Yeah.
And here's the thing that has stood out from all of this. In their save percentage, Montebo has an 892 save percentage. Bob is down to 884. Montebo's 2-1-1 and a 3-2-3 goal against average. Bob is 6-3-4 and a 3-3-9 goal against average. Montebo has not played as much. So we don't have as much of the pie like we have with Bob. But Bob is not playing well. And Bob, they paid Bob to be an elite goaltender. And he is not playing like an elite goaltender. And that's a major problem right now for the Panthers. And they're overcoming that major problem because they're still winning. I mean, they're 8-4-5. This is a great start to the Panthers. I mean, normally for us Panthers fans, this is a phenomenal start because we're not used to that.
We would be a little bit below 500, yeah, probably.
We'd be used to them being in a hole and trying to climb out of that hole, you know, sometime in February or March that they're like, oh my God, we got to make a run. And that's the kind of stuff that goes on that frustrates you. But last night, it was frustrating. I have to admit, it was frustrating last night because they're down 4-0. In fact, I was talking with Bill about it. I didn't expect them to win last night. And I'm going, look, as long as it's a respectable performance, okay, it's Boston. They lose to Boston. There's no shame, but just make it respectable. I'm looking at 4-0. I'm like, okay, there's nothing respectable about 4-0. You're getting your ass kicked.
The first period, we played actually pretty solid. I think Boston only had, what, eight shots?
Yeah.
Eight shots on goal.
Yeah.
That's way good defense for us.
Yeah.
But that second period,
killed them.
We didn't show up.
Yeah, no, it was killing. Through two periods, you're like, okay, this is terrible. This is over. And then the comeback of all comebacks. In fact, it's the comeback, the biggest comeback, the largest comeback in Panthers history. And you didn't do it against a crappy team. You did it against one of the elite teams of the league. And that's why it was impressive last night to come up with that victory 5-4 in the shootout. That's the other thing. Montebol had to come up big also, not just in the third period. He had to shut it out because you couldn't even give up one goal. You would have been done. And the kid shut out. And then also came through in the shootout, which was enormous. Trocheck had a really nice goal in the shootout.
That overtime period, man, that those three guys on the ice are so much space.
Yeah.
And you got goal scorers like Boston. I'm sitting there and it's like, how many shots, how many times are they just going to break it, like, and pepper us to death? And they're like, okay, this is not going to go well. And when it got to 0-0, it was like, okay, this is amazing.
Yeah, and Bob ended up with 19 saves. So think about it. He saved 19 out of 23 shots. That's terrible. He's got to pick it up. All right, listen, when I pointed it out in October, I'm told, well, it's a slow start in October for him, notorious slow starter. Well, we're in middle November now, the 13th, okay? You got to pick it up, dude. They're paying you to be elite, and you're not playing at an elite level. And they take on Winnipeg, which, by the way, lost to Colorado last night 4-0. They're 10-8-1. Thursday at the BB&T Center, they got to try to pick up another victory. Winnipeg in town at 7 o'clock. But again, we'll talk to George Richards at noon on this one and get his thoughts on the Panthers and what's going on with Bob, because that's one that's got to be a concern. And I wonder how Bob's handling all of this, because he seems like a really cool dude and really level-headed about these kind of things. So it does, and he's a veteran. He's a great player. So I don't think these struggles are going to necessarily bring his confidence down. But he's got to find a way to get more consistency for the Cats. They have to get better. Listen, it's nice to know this. It was a good and bad, right? It was great to come back on the Bruins and win. It's good to know that you've got a young goalkeeper that you're developing that could maybe bail you out in certain moments. You don't want to necessarily put the young man in these positions on a consistent basis or make him to be the guy to carry you. You don't want that. But those are the good things. But the bad thing is you paid this guy a lot of money because he's one of the best in the business. He's got to start playing like it. He has to play like it every night because that's what they're paying him to do. And this is the problem that you have in every sport with free agency. This is the risk you take. And I'm not saying that this is a bad signing and it's going to be a bad signing and all that stuff, but that's why you want to develop your own players in every sport, pay your own players because you know who they are. And when you're buying somebody else and you're buying that reputation, you're now hoping it translates over to your team and that nothing shakes it and nothing gets it off its tracks and whatever. And right now, Bob is not playing like he's supposed to play. He's got to figure it out. Because now you've got the youngster and you're developing him. And the last thing you want, really, at this point, you don't want a controversy. You don't need that because it becomes a controversy that comes with a whole bunch of baggage. Because if the kid wins the job, it's great that the kid wins the job, but now you got a guy taking up a whole bunch of cap space and he's not doing anything for you except playing backup. That cannot be the case. It's got to be the reverse, and it needs to get there quickly. And look, they're not going to bench Bob, and there's no time to panic or anything like that. We're only in early November right now. This is not a panic-type thing. This is not. All I'm pointing out is that there's been a trend in the first month and a half. He is not playing at an elite level. He needs to find a way to play at an elite level. That's all I'm saying, because another month or two from now, it will become a problem. It will become a controversy. It will become an everyday talking point, and you need to avoid that. You must avoid that. Bob doesn't want that, because if Bobrovsky has to then answer those questions every day, then we get to a point that it's contentious in the locker room. It's bad for the coach. It's bad for the GM because all of a sudden now, instead of focusing in on what's good, look at what's going on with the Heat. The Heat are 7-3. They're playing terrific basketball. And yet the stupid-ass Dion Waiters questions will loom and linger when they shouldn't. We should be talking completely about the team and nothing at all with Dion Waiters.
Guy hasn't even touched the floor.
It's not even fair to the guys that are on the court or the coach. But the Bob situation is completely different because that's supposed to be the centerpiece of your team. I mean, outside of Barkov, this might be the most important player that's supposed to be on your team. Can you imagine if Montebol comes out here now, starts to outplay him? And then you've got the media writing about it. You've got the fans chanting, yo, Monty, Monty. And then Bob starts getting booed. And he's the guy getting all that money. Not going to be a good situation. It really is. Interesting to watch last night was the Panthers losing to the Jets 4-3. And what isn't fun is watching the struggles of Bobrovsky. And listen, it's funny how everybody now is on the bandwagon of talking about how Bobrovsky is struggling. When 3 weeks ago, we were going, what's going on with this Bobrovsky guy? And then the excuses are, well, it's his first month, and notoriously, he's a slow starter. And Coach Quinville, I got to tell you, man, there was a part of me that was wondering, who do you start last night? Do you go back to Monty? Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I have no insight on this. I'm not a hockey expert by any means, except I can point out that Bobrovsky was struggling before all the hockey experts. But anyway, I'm not a hockey expert by any stretch. I don't know Quinville. I've never covered him. I don't deal with him on a daily basis. I only see what you see on television. Okay? Let me just be clear right now. But I got a feeling that Coach Q put a test yesterday on measuring where Bobrovsky is at. and he failed. And I think the next time Monty gets to come in like that and plays the hot hand again, I think he's going to stay there, and they're going to give him a little bit of a ride the next go around. I think this time, because we're early in the season, they're not buried in a hole or anything like that. They're doing fine in the standings. I think Q said, you know, maybe Bobrovsky watching the kid save his ass the other night gets him a little focused and ready to go. And then when he gives up those three goals last night, you're like, okay, dude, what the hell's going on? I'm just saying, it'll be interesting to see the next time Monty comes out, if he plays well and Bob's not playing well, does he stay with Monty and give him a little bit of a ride? Because that's what I thought would have been interesting last night. But if you start Monty last night, then you start a goaltending controversy. Last night, Coach Q said, all right, let me give him an opportunity to redeem himself after the kid bailed his ass out. Now that you failed me, I now have the green light to experiment with the youngster. Again, not a hockey expert, just playing the psychological approach to all of this, and I think there might be some truth to that. He wanted to avoid a controversy. Because we were all dancing a little bit around it, right? He's not playing well. Monty's playing better. Monty doesn't play nearly as much as Bob. So you figure, okay, what's going on here? I think next couple of weeks, we are going to find out if we have a goalie controversy here. Well, maybe not even a controversy, but a problem. A problem, because if the youngster somehow or another starts to become the better goaltender, wow, that's a major problem.
Let's be honest, though. Everybody telling us he starts slow, that's the only reason that there hasn't been more of a swell of exactly what you're talking about, is because we were told, this is how this guy operates. This is how he starts.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of quelled the situation, but we're almost, what, a quarter through the season, right? Mm-hmm. We're at about about 17, pretty, 18 games, maybe 20.
They're about a quarter of season.
Yeah, you know, the starting slow. We're 25% in, man. Come on.
They are 19 games in, so almost pretty much a quarter.
Yeah. No, yeah. You should be in season form, correct?
No, there's a problem right now. Bobrovsky is a problem right now because they're paying you to be elite, and he is not anywhere near elite. And that's he's ranked one of the worst goaltenders right now in the league. My man, Michael Codsey from Choice Mortgage Bank is here. So, Michael.
Yes. Let's talk some NHL.
Oh, how about the Panthers, bro?
Panthers are looking good. But again, and I agree with you 100%, I was listening to your podcast and I was watching on Twitter how you pointed out that we don't have a tough stay-at-home defenseman moving guys out of the crease. And I have to agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been saying that all along. And we got rid of Erica Branson. We haven't had some
snarl. We haven't recovered
back there
since then.
No. And meanwhile, he's been traded two times after that, just so you know.
I know.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is it because he's just an enforcer and he's not going to score?
He's not really
an
enforcer. He's a stay-at-home, tough defenseman. It's systems in hockey. And like in football, the same thing. You have to have systems. And Pittsburgh's a run and gun. They have Crosby. They have Malkin.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't fit that. He's not a Letang. He's a stay-at-home, tough defenseman. I loved him on the Panthers. He's one of my favorite players. But he's been moved. You know, he was in Vancouver. Then he got moved to Pittsburgh and now Anaheim. So some players don't fit. You don't know what goes on in the locker room. You don't know what goes on with salary caps. You don't know what goes on with personalities, with coaching. I mean, you know that.
But it's fourth team already now.
It's no good. But we need someone like him. So
yeah.
They have that player Dryden Hunt. They have Uyghur.
Uyghur's been a nice addition, man.
They've been good. They're young players, but I'd like to see some more some more teeth and snarl in the.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That or you pointed that out, which I happen to agree with you.
So yeah, they were battering our guys hanging around the thing. And that's what I want. I want if you're going to hang around our goalie, I want you to feel us. Okay.
Amen. So right. I agree 100% on that.
All right. So if they want to call you and get into a fixed mortgage rate under 3.5%,
that's correct. Call me. If you're looking to buy, if you have credit card debt and you own a home, now's the time to call me. Like I said earlier, rates are at a historical low, and now's the time to take advantage and to buy your dream home.
That's right.
You know, and
stop
and
renting.
As little as 3.5% down, and for the military, 100% financing. That's no money down. If you're a vet out there, if you serve in the military, call me. Zero money down. You can live in a $250,000 property for approximately $1,500 a month. No brainer. We do reverse mortgages. So if you have equity in your home and you're older than 62 years old, give me a call, 561-441-2730. Now's the time, y'all, to listen, make the move. The New Year's around the corner. Mid-November.
I know.
Mid-November. Where did the year go? January 1st is coming. Now is the time to call me. We'll set you up with a real estate agent. We'll set you up with a real estate closing attorney. We'll appraise your home. We will hold your hand, white glove concierge service.
No doubt. One of the best people you will ever meet. Forget about business. Just one of the best human beings.
That would be me. Michael Kotze, Choice Mortgage Bank.
There you go. Call Michael, 561-441-2730. Refinance or lower those monthly payments. Get off the fence. Stop renting. Call 561-441-2730.